Welcome into the Saturday Conversation. It's all about recruiting right now on the 40 Acres, just this weekend, let's say that. I'm Jerry Hamilton, joined as always by CJ Vogel. We have your recruiting news at On Texas Football and OnTexasFootball.com. All right, CJ, we start with an unexpected visitor, late addition to the big official visit weekend for the Texas Longhorns. That's Tanuk Hines, the On Texas Football four-star athlete slash wide receiver from Decaney High School in the Houston area. Hines is a guy that ran 10.45, 100 meters, qualified for state at the state track meet, had a tremendous season on the track at 6'1 and almost 195 pounds. He's kind of one of those guys that Texas has been monitoring for a while. Jeff Banks, Chris Jackson went by the school both in January and in May. Texas also recruiting Nicholas Townsend at tight end, the four-star tight end, his teammate. But Tanuk Hines had been talking about officially visiting Texas June 21st through 23rd. But he went ahead and scheduled this official visit late to the University of Texas this weekend, bumping an official visit to Baylor. He visited USC last weekend, has Notre Dame coming up next weekend, June 14th through 16th. So is Texas going to make a big push here? We're going to find out this weekend, but Texas did make the push to continue to get Hines on campus for an official visit, and they did that. They accomplished that goal this weekend. All right, CJ got his first up-close look at some of these guys on Friday when they arrived. Kind of your immediate takeaways. It was the two Florida guys, Myron Charles and Javion Hilson. Florida State commit, one Florida State lean. Texas is trying to pull a couple upsets in the Sunshine State.
Yeah, big kids, I'll say that. Listen, I'm only about 5'9", but my neck was looking all the way up, you know, trying to introduce myself and see them as they arrived. Certainly what you want in terms of defensive line prospects and kind of the stature that they bring in. Of course, Myron Charles, you see that he pushes about 300. He can get up to about 320, I think, with where his body is kind of looking. He has plenty of room right now to kind of reshape his body, I think. There's plenty of opportunity for some bad weight to disappear and that strength to really build up as well. But Javion Hilson, I'll tell you what, he was an impressive looking kid. He's a little bit lengthier than I envisioned. Yeah. And he certainly looks the part of an edge rusher in the SEC, obviously committed to Florida State at the moment. So they know a thing or two about some talented edge rushers, and Texas getting him on campus. Look, you see the arms there, you see the frame as his body kind of shapens up like this, more so lower at the torso, gets wider up by the shoulders. Impressive look. His frame early on, Jerry, kind of reminds me of what we saw at this stage a year ago from a guy like Zena Umeozulu, where it was like, you see the base, and you can just build on that, and probably by a year from now, you'll be holding 245, maybe 250 pretty easily. But really, really interesting prospects coming in. Obviously, Texas looking forward to potentially making a flip or two with Javion Hilson coming in. Of course, he's one of the three currently committed elsewhere prospects that are making official visits this month of June.
Yeah, so Javion Hilson, a couple of interesting things about him. This is his first time ever on campus in Austin at the University of Texas. He told the Texas staff, hey, I have interest. I want to visit. That's not normal for Texas. They normally have a kid come in first in April or sometime unofficial to make sure Coach Sarkisian feels like he's a fit. But I think it tells you how talented and how much upside Hilson has. The other thing with Hilson is he played his freshman year at O'Galley High with Brandon Brown. Then he transferred over to Coco High. So he knows Brandon Brown. There's a familiarity there. Obviously, Hilson committed to Florida State. Brandon Brown's officially visiting next weekend. But look, these guys talk. So, I mean, that'll be interesting. Hilson will have a chance to compare notes with Brandon Brown here, heading into Brandon Brown's official visit. And the other thing on Myron Charles is, you know, he's a more of a quiet kid, but man, does he play with some quickness, some explosiveness. Florida State, Florida, Miami are getting visits outside of Texas. So Texas is the only school from outside the Sunshine State that has a chance to upset in this recruitment. Florida State's considered the favorite. He visits Florida State June 21st through 23rd. He has Miami next week, and he was at Florida last weekend. So both those Sunshine State guys arrived. Another guy that arrived early was Josiah Sharma. CJ, Josiah Sharma, defensive lineman in the Sacramento area. He's at Folsom High, played his junior season at Endercrum in Sacramento. Reminds me of Sean Rogers. I'm going the way back machine here, but You know, Josiah Sharma, 6'4", about 315, 320. A lot of explosive ability there. Alabama leads Texas headed in this visit. Oregon right there now with a chance because they got an official visit set up for June 14th through 16th. He already visited Washington where he was committed prior to DeBoer going to Alabama. But three defensive linemen, two interior D linemen, they're big-time guys for Texas, two of the top five on the board coming in this weekend. So it's Kenny Baker, it's Johnny Nansen, it's PK, it's Steve Sarkisian weekend on the defensive front.
Yeah, Josiah Sharma was pretty darn excited whenever he arrived in Austin and obviously on his way to the hotel downtown. They got him a nice little view of the river, the Lady Bird Lake out there. He's got himself a good view. But, man, I was really surprised, Jerry. We saw probably six or seven posts from him the minute that he arrived by the time he made it to Austin. So, in my eyes, I see that as someone who was very eager to see the city once again and someone who was able to get – or at least – planning on getting an extended look at what Austin has to offer. Obviously, he visited in early spring with some of his high school coaches from Folsom. Coming back with some of his family members now, you get a little bit of a taste to slow things down. Everything's not coming at you 100%. And as you mentioned, he's a big-time prospect. Sean Rogers is not a comparison or that you hear all too often. And so for you to throw that out about him, that goes on to tell you not only how you view him, but also the Texas staff, because I know that going out west for a guy like this is not something that is very easily done. But it also speaks about, obviously, Alabama and Kalen DeBoer, previously committed to Washington. Alabama has any opportunity in the world to recruit defensive linemen in Georgia, in Mississippi, Louisiana, Florida, even Alabama, whatever. The Deep South is their own. Yes. For them to continue recruiting Josiah Sharma speaks a little bit about the talent as well and where, you know, the big bad SEC boys view him as a prospect as well.
The fourth out-of-state visitor this weekend is Caleb Edwards, tight end from El Dorado Hills. Oak Ridge High, that's up in northeast of Sacramento as well. Again, Johnny Nansen, big difference maker for Texas since being hired, getting those California kids on campus. Then there's Caleb Chester, corner out of Fort Bend Marshall, which we're going to end the show with a lot more on Caleb Chester, a little bit of get to know him as a player. So we're going to have more on Caleb Chester. Then there's Michael Terry, who put on Twitter, he was driving up. He had the shortest trip, maybe an hour, depending on traffic, from Alamo Heights to the University of Texas campus. Caleb Chester, things have changed in the recruiting days. Rod Babers said on the Friday live stream, you know, him and his family drove up from Houston, Austin. Nowadays, no. Car service picks you up, drives you to Austin, and drives you back on Sunday. Caleb Chester, I believe, is Texas slight lean over A&M and Arkansas, TC the fourth. CJ, Nebraska very much in it with Texas and Texas A&M for Michael Terry. I think the message from Steve Sarkisian, AJ Milway, and in the staff this weekend to Michael Terry is going to go a long way in determining where Terry goes as far as Nebraska versus Texas A&M, or how hard Texas actually pushes when it comes to commitment time.
Yeah, Jerry, it's always funny whenever you hear about official visits because you think it's a vacation, right? Yeah, I get to hop on the plane. I get to go out. All expenses paid. We get to hang out in the new city for a week. Well, hopefully for Michael Terry, he didn't hit traffic on 35 coming up. So
that's the last hour drive.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully it wasn't too bad coming in because who knows what it's like leaving the city on a Sunday. But I totally agree with you. And Texas has had some maybe a rocky road or two so far this cycle when it comes to finding recruits on the fringe of whether it be a defensive back or a linebacker, wide receiver, a tight end, or wherever they might fit. Obviously, Jonah Williams comes to mind with where Texas wants to recruit them and where they the recruits themselves see themselves best fit. So that's going to be very important, is where does Michael Terry envision himself at Texas and how does Texas kind of bring that conversation up to him? Because it is kind of one of those interesting talking points with some of these recruits that are dead set on playing on one side of the ball versus the other when maybe their future is a little bit higher at a position they're not necessarily thinking about playing full time. So that's going to be the big thing. Obviously, I talked to him in the spring, staying close to home. It matters a little bit, but more than anything, relationships with the head coach, relationships with position coach right now, who might that be at Texas? I envision it being an entire hands-on approach with this Texas staff the minute that he steps on campus. Again, just because you don't know necessarily where you will peg him once he comes to campus in Austin. So that's going to be very important for him. And of course, Caleb Chester, a guy Texas has been all over. They've been starting to recruit that Houston area a little bit stronger, right? A little bit more defensive backs popping up than what we've seen in recent years, specifically with where Texas has gone out to get defensive backs. We saw it a year ago with Louisiana, Arizona, a couple other talented spots. Now it looks like Houston's on the ups, and it will be down in 2026 as well. Fort Bend Marshall's a very important school to have relations with. This will be a very important relationship and recruitment for the Texas staff with Caleb Chester.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Isaiah Williams, Noriel Dominguez, two top 26s. In the state at Fort Bend Marshall. Safety, Isaiah Williams is going to be one of the best in the country. Dominguez, a linebacker, big-time guy, visited Miami earlier this week. All right, let's tell everybody about the official visits here, because I think a lot of people say, well, what goes on in these official visits? All right, well, so guys get to campus today, Friday. They got the campus Friday. They check in at the Four Seasons. Yep, you stay at the Four Seasons, you and your people. So a lot of security Texas fans don't be racing over there to go to the bar to see what you can see. A lot of security at the Four Seasons. You're not getting in. So they stay at the Four Seasons. Then on Friday night, they had what's called the Texas Experience. So that is Chris Del Conte. That is all the leadership of the University of Texas talking to the families and the prospects, and some players at Texas are involved in this in a panel type discussion at times. About the University of Texas, the experience of being a football player, a student, living in the city of Austin, everything that can provide for you. So that kind of – and then Friday night, guys spend time with their host and the team and whatnot. And there's a social event for the parents with the coaches to where they can really get down, just have a lot of conversations. And then today, a little bit different. We don't know exactly for sure, but in the past, they've gone to Topgolf. Again, don't go renting a bay. You're not going to get a bay next to these guys at Topgolf if they're there. They go have a little fun, the team, Texas team, the recruits. They go over the Topgolf, have a little fun, CJ. Then they have, you know, before that, obviously on Saturday, they have the academic meeting, strength and conditioning meeting. To your point, saying these official visits are just a bunch of fun. They're fun, but it's a time-packed 48 hours on a campus. That's all you're allowed to have on the campus, so you have to fit it all in there. So there's the academic meetings. There's the university the tour of the campus. There's the meeting with the strength and conditioning coaches. There's the player development speech from Steve Sarkisian and his staff. There's a lot that goes into this Saturday morning, mid-morning. Then you go to Topgolf in the afternoon. Then you come back, maybe spend some more time with the players. Then they go have a social that Saturday night. Tonight they'll have a social in the Austin area, where we won't say where we think that is, but they have a social in the Austin area. And then on Sunday, CJ, you meet with Steve Sarkisian. You have breakfast. You meet with Steve Sarkisian, where it really gets down to, let's talk about this stuff. Where are we at? What are we all thinking here? And then they all depart and go back home. So that's a little bit about the official visits. From your side, I kind of gave a little bit of a schedule on what they can look like. But you've covered a lot of these, too. This official visit weekend for these guys. And Texas puts on quite the show.
Yeah, definitely. There are two things that are really important to me. Obviously, the ending kind of wrap-up conclusion conversation with Steve Sarkisian is very important here. But Saturday night, you're going to sit down and go eat with your position coach.
Yeah.
Kenny Baker is going to be a busy man this weekend, that's for sure. I hope he's got enough room in his stomach, because he's going to be eating all weekend. But then you get down and you kind of sit down with some of the players, and you go to a nice little event, and everything's kind of set out. You remember last year, CJ Baxter on the mic, you know, he was putting on a show. He was singing karaoke in front of recruits, their families. That's very important. And more times than not with these big recruitments, you go out and you see, you know, your five-star guys, whether that be an Anthony Hill, a Colin Simmons. Arch Manning was strategically placed at the tables a few last year as well when it comes to these outings. So getting to hear a little bit about this weekend will kind of set the precedent for what we see the next two weekends when 18 and 20 guys come in respectively each weekend. Going to be very important, and it's going to be a nice little test run, obviously, for the Texas staff to get everything situated for the bigger recruiting weekends coming up. But I'm excited to see just what kind of tricks and they got pulled up their sleeves. Obviously, we went out earlier this weekend. We saw the big Longhorn they got outside of Moncrief for them to walk in on. So that'll be really interesting. I'm looking forward to the Instagram stories and everything that comes out of it.
CJ, you brought up a great and underrated point, a thought that kind of put another thought in my head. There's two things that from what you said that I think are so important. Everybody talks culture. This is the weekend parents and kids see culture.
Definitely.
And they know whether it was just talk or if it's reality this weekend. Sometimes on unofficial visits, you don't know. On official visits, you're on campus 48 hours. It's a lot of team activities. You 100% know. And then there's the other part of that. Players still recruit players. I know we live in the NIL day and age, but if you're a parent and your son goes on campus and he plays wide receiver or running back or whatever, and the kids on that team say, hey, yeah, I don't know if you want to come here. That impacts that your son's recruitment. 100%. And that impacts that school's recruitment. So players recruit players this weekend, and culture goes from what we talk about and to you and your parents being able to see it at the University of Texas. And Sark talks culture, and people think team. I think he's talking team, university, everybody being on the same page around the football program. So that's two very important things that come out of this weekend for parents and kids, even in the NIL day and age. All right, so we've hit on the recruiting weekend, which CJ and I have a lot more Saturday afternoon, Sunday on this official visit weekend for the Longhorns. There's a lot of prospects visiting other places that are Texas targets. We'll talk about that later this weekend. But we want to leave you, CJ, I want to leave you with a special segment here for the Saturday conversation. We asked Rod Babers, take a look at Caleb Chester and break down his game and tell us what you like about Texas cornerback target Caleb Chester out of Fort Bend Marshall. Who better to tell Texas fans about Caleb Chester than Rod Babers, lifetime Longhorn, NFL draft pick, the best to wear 21 unless Xavier Filsamia unseats him. Here's Rod Babers on Caleb Chester. Enjoy. Thanks for joining us today.
All right, folks, time to give you my evaluation of Caleb Chester, the cornerback out of Houston. Listen, I'm really hard on the DBs because I myself am a card-carrying member of DBU there in Texas. But I'll say, usually when I'm looking at prospects in the back seven, I like to group them into three different categories, a technician, a disruptor, or a ball hawk. And one thing you notice about Caleb Chester, he's a technician at playing the cornerback position. There's a lot to love about this game. He's got great range at the cornerback position, number one. You'll notice that in the clips. If he's got to play zone coverage, I mean, look how he can cover a lot of space covering that deep third or covering that deep fourth. Very disciplined in his eyes, reading his keys. Look at there, reading number two, able to come off number one seamlessly. And one thing you also notice watching his game, and I wrote this down in my notes, he acutely and accurately, astutely, is aware of angles, right? He does a great job of cutting off receivers' path on their routes. Also does a great job playing bump and run coverage of being able to cut off a receiver at the point of attack and use angles to the football, whether you're talking about off coverage, being able to cut off receivers or being able to intercept their path, or whether you're talking about in bump and run coverage. So I love that. That's something that's natural. A guy that even when he's breaking on the football, you can tell his aiming point is the upfield shoulder. So just keenly aware of angles, and football a lot of times comes down to those angles. So I like that naturally about his game. He also has different methods of press. You'll even see here. That's why I call him a technician, right? The great athletes can go up and play press in high school. That's not a problem. But to have different methods of press, right? As a guy, you can see the inch technique. You can see the shadow technique. You got the one-hand jab you see there. He's got the two-hand press technique as well. That's also something you can observe on film. He's got a lot in his repertoire. For a young player, that means you've been studying the game. That means you've been studying the cornerback position to have different methods of playing bump and run. You got to have a lot in your tool bag so that you never know what situation is going to arise and what method or what technique you're going to need to use in that particular moment. So you'd like to have a lot of them available, and he does. That's why I call him a technician. Love that about his game. He'll fit in any scheme. Doesn't matter if it's a a heavy zone scheme, heavy man scheme. I mean, the truth is teams are playing more and more bump and run coverage. It goes all the way up to the NFL level, right? 60% of your passing game at the NFL level is quick game. Ball is coming out in three steps. That means the ball is coming out in a little over 2 seconds. If the ball comes out that quick or a little under 2 seconds, or a little over 2 seconds, then your pass rush is nullified. What can disrupt that? Bump and run cornerbacks, bump and run defensive backs, guys who are not only coverage specialists, but like this young man, Caleb Chester, they are press coverage specialists. They can get up there and disrupt and redirect wide receivers right there at the line of scrimmage. He has the ability to do that. He's got the length, 6'1", maybe hovering around even maybe 6'2". He's got good frame, but I love the fact that he's a guy you can trust in bump and run coverage. Sark wants to play more bump and run coverage, but he's not the only one. Everybody does. In an RPO world that we live in, you throw the quick game in there with the RPO. RPO is essentially an amalgamation of the quick game and the run game, and you're becoming more of an RPO league, more of an RPO game. So Sark understands, got to play bump and run coverage. Why? Because he knows that's what would disrupt his RPO passing game, would be corners that can play bump and run coverage. Now, that's a rarity. Getting corners and DBs that can play press confidently and be consistent in their technique, those are not easy to find. Usually guys who are playing press are gambling a lot and they end up getting torched throughout a game. Here's a young man I think that can do it consistently, and I think that's a confidence in his game, the maturity in this game. Also, something else I liked about this young man and what I saw from him, I also love the fact that, you know, he's one of those guys that he's sticky in press coverage. You know, I think there are certain things that you just cannot coach or teach, and you got to recruit those. And honestly, there are certain traits, right? Big guy being tall, wingspan, length, speed, of course, being one of those things. I think coverage is also one of them. I think coverage is natural. I think some guys are natural coverage guys and coverage specialists, and some guys don't. They don't read body language really well. They don't have really flexible hips. Their eyes are undisciplined. Guys who don't have the feet to play man-to-man coverage. There are some guys who just have those tools and naturally they are naturally more gifted at playing man, and some guys who aren't. I think Caleb Chester is one of those guys that can play man coverage. So I think you recruit things you can't coach coverage. I think pass rush ability is also, and I think guys are kind of naturally inclined to be great pass rushers. So I would recruit those traits, and I think that's what they're recruiting with a guy like Caleb Chester. You get him on campus, you got a natural coverage specialist, but not only that, the added bonus of a press coverage specialist who's great understanding angles to the football. That's what I love about his game mentally, is that this is a guy that kind of naturally understands the angles that as a defender you have to be disciplined in, or you're going to end up a lot of the times in foot races that you're going to lose. You're going to end up in situations where, you know, you are taking a bad angle to the football and a guy gets behind you. I didn't see much of that on film, if any of that on film with him. So that's what I love about Caleb Chester's game, a technician, and overall a guy that can be a press coverage specialist in any situation.